I am so excited tonight. I am telling you, I know I say that every week, but let me tell you, I'm extremely excited this night. Because this night, you're going to get fed. Without a doubt, you're going to get fed. Because I am always next to this lady. And every time I am, I'm telling you, I get fed. Now, you might ask yourself, is this a freedom night? Is this freedom? Oh my goodness, yes. Freedom is when we find truth in our life and we replace what has not been truth with truth. Now, how many of you have ever been around Miss Vashti before? All right. Has she ever not spoken truth to you? Oh my goodness, from the time she opens up her mouth to the time I wave bye to her, she is speaking the truth of God. And I'm telling you, and it is such revelation, and it is such the heart of God. And so I'm going to tell you, I am expecting tonight to be greatly fed, and you should be too. So go ahead and prepare yourself. Ms. Vashti, will you come ahead and come up here? I'm going to tell you, she's a woman of faith. She's a woman of the Word, and she's a woman of truth. So you're going to get all three of that in one tonight. So I present to you Ms. Vashti. Are you ready? You don't even need that one. Look at her.
Praise the Lord, saints. Truly, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Before I present the word to you tonight, I want to go before the throne of grace. Daddy God, I come to you this evening as humble as I know how, thanking you and praising you, God Almighty, for what you are, who you are to me. I thank you and I praise you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Thank you and praise you for giving them a mind to come out tonight. For this message is for all of us, not just for a few. Because none of us have arrived. Lord, I pray, God Almighty, that you will do a great work in each and every one of us. Because we are all falling short of the glory of God. And Lord, I ask you if you would stir us up at the very fiber core of our being. I pray, God Almighty, that you would put that reverential, godly fear back into our hearts. That we be more careful as to what we do, what we say, where we go. And Lord, I just thank and praise you for what you've already done in our lives. And what you're doing right now behind the scene. For our eyes have not seen and our ears have not heard, nor have it entered into our heart the things that you have prepared for us. But you reveal it to us by your spirit. And when you do, we only see through a glass darkly. But when we see you, we'll be able to see you face to face. And we'll be just like you. I pray, God Almighty, that you will let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Amen. Amen. We've been talking about going to the other side. And I plan to go to the other side, but I want to see all of my brothers and sisters in the Lord to go with me. For whether we know it or not, we are in a spiritual war. And it's not a natural war. But we know that all truth is parallel. There's a war going on in the natural, there's one going on in the spirit too. And we cannot fight in this war with our natural weapons. We have to have on our whole armor. The whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:12, sixth chapter. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. And it reads, no, I'll start at 11. I hate to leave any of it out there. Put on the whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the dispositions, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that we may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and a moral rectitude and right standing with God. And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the covering shields of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. So in this war, we're going to have on our whole armor. And the first piece of armor we need is salvation. Because without salvation, we wouldn't be able to fight in this war. And then we're going to need the belt of truth. Because it's the truth of God's word that set us free. So we shall know the truth, and the truth that we know will make us free. And then we're going to have on a breastplate of righteousness. For we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And then he said, our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it's just not enough for us to get the word in us and not go out and share the word. So we have to be ready to minister to other people. And if you have nothing else to tell them, give them your testimony. Because we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives unto death. And we need to have the helmet of salvation was the first one. And then we need God's word. Thy word have we hid in our hearts that we may not sin against him. Okay. Second, the weapons we are fighting with are not natural weapons, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ. So when all these things come to your mind, we should change channels. Like we change channels in the natural, we can change channels in our head. Because that's where the war is going on in our minds. If Satan can get your mind, he have you. We know we are living in a world that is rapidly changing. But we are not going to let the world change us. We're going to change the world. Because we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we are his workmanship. We're going to, the greater one lives on the inside of us. For greater is he, the Holy Ghost that's in us, than the devil that's in the world. And God has given us power. In Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost have come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, and to Jerusalem and all Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I would advise you to seek the Lord for it. Because without the Holy Spirit, we can't even understand the word of God. The Holy Ghost opens its word up to us. Our prayer should be, Lord, give us the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Give us the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of the inheritance that you have in us as your saints. We know when we get born again, we get saved, the only thing that gets saved is your spirit on the inside. Our spirit on the inside is just like God himself. But our mind didn't get saved. our body doesn't get saved. When we leave out of here, we'll be still doing the same old things that we do all the time when you first get saved. But that, I call that a baby saint. There are three levels in the spirit. There is a babyhood, childhood, and manhood. And the same thing in the spirit. There is a babyhood, childhood, and manhood. But in most churches, we have, I hate to say this, but it's true. We have a lot of people in the church are still babies. They're still sucking on bottles. And when the babies come in, they can't get the bottles because we got them all. So, but we need to grow up. If we've been in the church any time, we should have grown up enough, at least to childhood. Because, you know, babies, when they're a baby, they'll pick up anything and put it in their mouth. I don't care what it is. They put it in their mouth. And then when the childhood, they get the saint, they get to talking too much. They're very talkative when you're in your childhood. God has all power. And that same power that God has is on the inside of us. Everything we need, we have it to be able to fight in this war. But we cannot fight in this war with a carnal mind. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God. And the carnal mind does not understand the things of God. So in order to fight in this war, we're going to have to get the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Thought I had it kind of marked out, but I guess I didn't. Okay, 2 Corinthians. I'm going to stop a little higher. For though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. Because we cannot fight in this fight with human weapons. For the weapon of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. But they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasoning in every proud and lofty thing that set itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ the Messiah. That wasn't the scripture I was supposed to be reading, but I'm glad I went on and read it. So you know that that the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. I was supposed to be reading scriptures concerning the carnal mind. Oh, here it is, I think. Okay. Wrong book. Okay, Romans 8. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify their flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now, the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason, without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that compromises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul, peace, both now and forevermore. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purpose, is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God. Indeed, it cannot. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetite and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to him. But you are not living the life of the flesh if you are born again. I mean, if you are walking uprightly before the Lord. I'll say it that way. Because everybody in the church, most of the people in the church are carnal-minded people. And we have to have the mind of Christ in order to do the things of Christ. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. He does not belong to Christ. He is not truly a child of God. So we have to make up our mind, choose who we're going to serve. Are we going to serve God or are we going to serve man? That's a decision we should make, because we can't serve both. You can't be halt between two opinions. It's going to have to be God. It's going to have to be the devil. And I choose to serve God. And these are some weapons that we can fight with. Another thing too, I wanted to mention though, we are living epistles read of men. People are reading us every day. When they don't read the Bible, they're trying to see if we're going to do what the Word say do. The Word of God is the weapons we are using to fight with. The first one is the Word of God. Because you know Jesus and I is our example. And in Matthew chapter 4, he fought with the Word. He told the devil, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And we know the Word is a weapon. It cuts both ways. It's a sword. It's Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. That's one good thing about praying in the Holy Ghost. Because all we have to do. Sometimes we pray in the natural, we run out of some things to say. But if you're praying in the Holy Ghost is going to pray the perfect will of God through you, if you will open your mouth up. But you when you open your mouth, you're going to have to act. The Spirit will control your tongue. Praying in the Spirit is very, very, very important. Romans 8:26. It talks about we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered. So let's see, Romans 8:26. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily, as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplications and plead in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the heart of men knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is. The Holy Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints, according to and in harmony with God's perfect will. So, and there's a lot of reason why we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. It helps to build us up in our most holy faith. I believe that's in Jude 20. And the next one we need to fight with is binding and loosening. Matthew 18:18 said, "Whatsoever we bind on earth, God will bind it in heaven. And whatsoever we loose on earth, God will loose it in heaven." God's not coming back to do it for us. He told us what to do. When he went away, he told the disciples what to do. And we are one of his disciples. And we are to do what he did when he was here. He cast out devils. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He opened up blind eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. All these things, we are, this Victory Church of El Dorado, we're going to see all these things manifested in our church. I'm believing the Lord for it. And I know he'll give us our heart's desire. Pray. Another weapon is praying God's word. When you pray, if you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, pray God's word. Because he will honor his word. Okay. Worshiping God is very important. Psalms 99, verse 5. Extol the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. I had another scripture on. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. This is our Psalms 95 verses 4, in case you want to know. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be reverently feared and worshiped above all so-called gods. Another weapon we could use is fasting. Fasting alone is not going to do it. You've got to fast and pray. If sometimes we can't get a prayer through, if we would turn our plates over and fast and pray, and then you see God come through for you. I remember one time I would fast for 3 days with nothing, no water, nothing. I was teaching school every day. But at that time, I didn't know the proper way to fast, so God took me through it. Praise you, Jesus. But we don't talk about fasting enough. We need to do it more than just one time of the year. But we should do it as often as the God leads you. Sometimes he'll put you on a supernatural fast. Like today, I wasn't able to eat much of anything. And I couldn't understand why, but he knows why. Isaiah 58, it talks about, read a few scriptures on fasting. Because fasting is for us. It's not really to help us to kill our flesh. Okay. I'm just going to read. Later on, you can read the whole chapter, Isaiah 58, but I'm going to read a few of the verses. The facts are that you fast only for strife and debate and to smite with the fists of wickedness. Fasting as you do today will not cause your voice to be heard on high. Is such a fast as yours what I have chosen? A day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his soul. Is true fasting merely mechanical? Is it only to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him to indicate a condition of heart that he does not have? Will you call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Rather, is not this the fast that I have chosen? This is the purpose of the fast, is to loose the bonds of wickedness and to undo the band of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke. That's the purpose of fasting. But like I said, fasting is not mentioned one third time as much as prayer. We kind of push it in the background because we don't want to turn that plate over. But we need to turn that plate over. Spiritual warfare can be done by every person that is born again and walking in the Spirit. If we make up our minds, we can walk in the Spirit and not cater to the flesh. Because you do not have to put forth any effort to walk in the flesh. When we walk in the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. And it takes faith and discipline to walk in the Spirit. the way we are able to walk in the Spirit, we need to spend more time with the Lord by reading His Word, studying His Word, meditating on His Word, memorizing His Word, and most of all, be a doer of His Word, James 1:22. We would have to spend more time feeding our spirit and less time feeding our flesh. We need food for both our spirit and our flesh for nourishment. The only food that's going to last is the word the food that we hide, that we put in our spirit. We hide it in our heart, and it will come up when we need it. Psalms 119:11. If we would try spending less time in the things of the world, such as watching worldly movies, because people don't realize when you sit up there and watch those worldly movies, those spirits transfer. There's a such thing as transferring of spirits. And how I know that to be a fact, when I was teaching school, I had a real good student, very well behaved. And a child come in there that's full of spirits, sit by that child, you know the thing, that child is cutting up. And you wonder what happened. But if you've been taught on transferring the spirit, you don't have to wonder about it too much, you know. Another thing, we spend so much time in the Facebook and shopping, movies. All these things are going to pass away. Only the things we do for Christ are going to last. Because we are not to love not the world, not the things that are in the world, but to love the Father. Because, like I said, the only thing that's going to last is what we do for Christ. I know that we should have a balanced life, but we can spend more time than we are spending in the Word of God, because we want to be like Christ. Our mind can't be like Christ if we don't study His Word and read His Word and meditate. That's how we're going to get the mind of Christ. If we would give God a third of the time we give, I would say from 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock, that's 12 hours. How many of those hours are we spending in our Word or before the Lord praying? And the Bible said, for the first thing we to do, Matthew 6:33, is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. And I know that to be very true, because I always, when I get up in the morning, I always get up. When I get up, I pray and I read my Word. And other stuff that I need to get done, He makes time for it. I have time. I even have time like left over. So we take care of God's business. He's going to take care of ours. And that's a fact. And we know that we cannot have faith without the Word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In order to fight in God's army, we have to be equipped in our spirits. And these are more things that we need to do in order to walk in God's army and get the victory. Number one, we must walk in love. John 13:35. So this is how we know that we are one of God's children, by the love that we have toward one another. So we are to love our brothers and our sisters, not to put them down so the strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. We're not supposed to go around with the head in high minded, thinking we all are that, when we all are dirt. We all came from dirt, and we all will go back to dirt, from ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Another very important thing we need to do is to watch our words. James 1:19. Because words will get you in some sure enough trouble. And when they go out there, you can't take them back. You just be, oh, Lord, forgive me. That's all you can do is say, Lord, forgive me. Those words will be there forever. We have spoken words over our children. We have spoken words to our husbands. And then we wish we could take them back. We can't take them back, but we can be forgiven. I remember when I was in Michigan, lady was a friend of mine in church, and her daughter had seen her husband with another woman. And she went back and told her mother. Mother got in the car and went where he was. And they were in the car together coming back home. And she took her gun out and shot him and killed him. This mouth, oh my God, that's life and death in the power of our tongue. Proverbs 18 and 21. We can speak life over a person, or we can speak death over a person. So we choose life, not death. We don't realize it. We are dead until we accept Jesus Christ. And then our spirits wake up when we accept Christ. We must have compassion, the compassion of God. Luke 10, 30 through 35. Jesus, taking him up, replied, "A certain man was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him of his clothes and belongings and beat him and went their way, unconcernedly leaving him half dead as it happened. Now, by coincidence, a certain priest was going down along that road, and when he saw him, he passed by and went on the other side. Then a Levite likewise came down to the place and saw him and passed on the other side of the road. But a certain Samaritan, as he traveled along, came down to where he was, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity and sympathy for him, and went to him and dressed his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, that's 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I myself will repay you when I return.'" Now, if that's not compassion, I don't know what is. We need to show more compassion within the body of Christ toward one another. And we don't show enough love. We don't show enough compassion. And we definitely need to watch our words, what we're saying about one another. We're talking about people. Because actually, if they're a member of the body of Christ, you're talking about yourself. If you really think about it, you're talking about yourself. Because we're all one. And if the feet can't say that to the leg, "I don't need you." Or the eye can't say to the ear, "I don't need you." We all need each other. It's one big puzzle. If everybody would find out the purpose and plan God have for their lives, and get that piece of puzzle and put it in there, and then when all our pieces, all the things that each and every one of us are supposed to do, the puzzle will come together. But we know that a house divided against itself, it cannot stand. We need to study to be quiet. And it takes discipline to do that, for us to study to be quiet. We can choose to control our tongue with the Holy Spirit's help. Because the Word says that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. I pray that you have these words that I've spoken tonight will not fall on deaf ears, but we will give God more time in the future than we have in the past, because we want to be able to do the works that he did, because the world is waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God.